sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver, leave us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with, of course, my favorite gardener, Lance Swegert. How are you tonight, Lance?
I'm doing good.
Glad you're here in early January, and I'm glad to have Sarah Smith in the house again. And many of you know her as Sarah Pope, now Sarah Pope Smith.
Thanks so much for having
me. Congratulations. Great to have you here. And, of course, if Sarah's here, we're talking seed saving tonight.
That's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give the phone numbers and we'll get started because it is a live call-in show. And seed saving these days is just generating a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. So get ready in there, Jeff, for the phones to ring.
The word is out.
Right.
Seeds are hip.
527-486-1866 KVNF now. So, Sarah, you are with Delta County Libraries and specifically work out of Hotchkiss and Cedar Edge with their seed saving program.
Yes, I am so lucky to be involved with the Seed Library. That's a part of Delta County Libraries. And we're
Seed Library.
Yeah, Seed Library. We're gearing up. We've been getting seed donations in we've got some local seed donations this winter, and then we've also gotten some some donations from seed companies that donate their last year's stock, and they works out great because we get a supplement with seeds that we don't get a lot of locally. And so right now I've been filtering through, and we've had a lot of volunteers come in to help go through all these seeds.
So do you think that this year's variety is
it's overwhelming.
Is it overwhelming? Really?
Oh, which nice. Is great. In a great way. We're excited about it.
Right. And what year are you in at the Seed Library? Because each year it keeps getting bigger and better.
This will be our fifth season.
Right on.
So 2014 was the first year that we offered seeds.
Okay. And it's a seed library. So library gives the impression that you can check seed out.
You can. It's great. So
how does that work?
Well, we're gearing up. So our goal every year is to have seeds available for checkout at every library in Delta County starting on March 1st.
Wow.
So mark your calendars. You can go to your libraries March 1st and start checking out seeds. And the way we do that is it's really, you know, based on community participation, because what the seeds we offer is based on the donations that were given from local gardeners. We do get, again, I said we do get some donations from seed companies that kind of help supplement with things that are maybe a little harder to save seed from or a little more unique. And so we'll have those available, and you can check them out with a library card. But you don't have to return them. There's no fines. Really, the whole mission is to empower people to learn about seed saving, to start saving their own seed, and really give them the resources so that they're able to get started.
Yeah, and I think it's all taking off. It feels so good, and it's so exciting. I know you feel it down there, Sarah, and everything that you're doing. And we have a caller on the line. It is Eden. Good evening, Eden.
Good evening. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Absolutely. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. Thank you. How about you?
We're good.
We're great. What's going on?
So I'm actually calling on behalf of the Two Forks Club, and we're a 501c3 in the Roaring Fork and North Fork Valley that makes the 0% interest loans for community farmers and local food entrepreneurs. And I was just calling to let folks know that our loan applications are now open, and we've actually extended the deadline for another week. So if there's any community farmers or local food entrepreneurs out there that could use a 0% interest loan to help make a bigger impact on our community here, we're here to support.
That's fabulous.
Wow.
That's great. And do you have a web page or something that people can go to, Eden? Or?
Yes, it's the number 2 forks. Forks like a pitchfork or a thinner fork. It's two forks that's twoforks.org. The number 2FORKS.org.
Okay, fabulous.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That sounds great. Thank you, Eden. That's interesting.
Okay,
we'll have to
so
chat about what you do. That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, Yeah, anytime.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, a lot of people doing all kinds of things. People moving here to farm and to seed save. And Sarah, well, go ahead, Lance.
I was just going to say, we actually, of all the seed saving, we have an extremely good climate for seed saving because of the dry conditions.
Okay, and that's helpful because storage-wise?
Well, no, to mature them.
To mature.
And dry, if you have a wet climate or moist climate, they mildew or mold.
Yeah. Mold is not a seed saver's friend.
Yeah.
Right.
So we actually have, we're a lot like the higher altitudes in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and that's part of the Fertile Crescent. And that's where a lot of our food crops came from.
Fertile Crescent being what?
The Middle East.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That area of the world. We're a lot similar to that, and the dry climate that we have is just phenomenal.
Okay. And Sarah, you experienced that this year. Gardening was, but good on the seed saving because seed production.
Our garden was pretty sad this year. Our irrigation was shut off August 1st.
Oh, my goodness. That's really early.
Pretty early for us. And we had seen those projections and cut our garden back pretty significantly, knowing that. But it was really amazing. You know, we didn't have a lot of vegetable crops necessarily compared to what we usually do. But I was really amazed by the seeds that we had. You know, I left a lot of our spring greens that I would pull and make room for summer crops. And I left them and let them go to seed. And so we had some really beautiful lettuce and spinach seed. I had some... I'm really excited about the peas that we saved seed from because they actually did, I mean, considering peas, like, don't like it too hot, they really hung on and matured really well in the heat, which was exciting to see that.
Mm-hmm. And you typically do a lot of beans. You took a break from beans this year, partly because of water, but also they were kind of at a stage where they were getting a little buggy
were ready to take a little break. We'd been starting to see some pests, and I really feel like that was just because we were growing a lot of beans.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think our soil needed a break and some variety, and so we really, you know, we didn't grow any beans last year, which felt really weird. We
right.
did still grow legumes. We grew fava beans, which did great for any beginning seed savers. They're really, really fun.
Yeah, you've recommended that beans are a great way to start
seed
saving.
Yeah, they're very easy.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And rewarding. You can eat them for dinner.
Right. And Lance, what about pests and those kind of things? Is it something? We're always thinking about that with the food that we're harvesting to eat, but how do you think about that differently?
The reason why the pests, year after year after year, you're growing so much. And they just sort of, there are a few there, and then there's a few more, and then all of a sudden, whoops.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what kind of pest. Was it Mexican bean beetle? That's the main one that gets in beans.
No, it wasn't. I apologize. I don't have that name off the top of my head, but I could describe it.
It's they a were pesty these, little pest.
They were these little yellow caterpillar-like critters.
Okay, well, those are the... I don't want to say those are the larvae.
Okay, of the Mexican bean beetle.
The Mexican bean beetle actually looks disguised, like a golden type colored ladybug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what that is, and it's just a matter of you didn't rotate, didn't clean up enough. You know, those kind of things.
Right, offered the opportunity for a break and some other things.
Yeah,
so that's,
and if you get into the biodynamic rotation of crops, you do not follow fruit with fruit. Beans are fruit.
Oh, okay.
And squash are fruit. So you rotate, there's fruit, leaf,
flower,
and root. You rotate those.
Okay.
And that way it's an energy thing, not just a soil thing too.
Sure. So. Thanks for the biodynamic tip.
It's there. It works. A lot of people using that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. 970-527-4868, 1-866 KBNF now. We're talking about being able to check out seeds starting in March, but you've got some events going out, coming up, and people need to donate seed pretty quickly in order to be able to have that checked out this year.
Yeah, so we've had so many wonderful seed donations this year, and we are going to be starting to catalog them and get them ready. And so we've got some events coming up in the next couple weeks. So Thursday, January 24th, the Paonia Library is going to be having a seed sorting party from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that same day in the afternoon from 4 to 6, the Cedar Edge Library will also be having a seed sorting party. And if you can't make it on the 24th, you can come to the Hotchkiss Library on Tuesday, January 29th from 4 to 6, and we will be sorting seeds as well. And so what that looks like is when people donate seeds, they usually bring them in like a big container or a big bag, and then our task is to put those into packets and get them labeled so that we can spread them out through the five libraries and get them ready for checkout.
So these events are to sort seed that's already been donated, or can you also bring seed?
You can also bring seed, and we hope that you will. And it's
good.
It's really the deadline to get seeds in for the 2019 planting season. You can still bring your seeds in to the seed library. We'll still accept them. But we just, with the amount of seed that we've had coming in this year, we got to give our poor catalogers time to get those in the system.
Wow, that's exciting.
It takes time to pack to catalog over 1,000 packets of seeds.
No kidding. And when you bring seed in to donate, is there a volume limit or a volume minimum that...
I have never had to turn seed away.
Okay.
I hope I never have to.
Mm-hmm. The more the better.
The more the better, yeah.
But get it in soon because we want to offer it to the community, and we got to give our catalogers time to enter it, because the great thing with the seed library is you can go on to the Delta County Library website, and if you don't see seed that you're looking for here in the Paonia Library, you can browse our online catalog and find it at any of the five libraries and have it sent to.
Yeah, and there you really do get a sense of the scope of the project. I did that last summer, logged on the online seed catalog. And amazing, just the differences in kale seed that's out there, just the variety or number of different donations, I guess that would be.
And it changes every year. It's really amazing to see what people are growing in their gardens and what kind of seeds they have to share, and the stories that come along with them of, this did so good in the drought year, or these were my grandmother's flowers.
Right.
I love those.
And that's one of the benefits of participating in the events, is you get to meet people and get some of those stories. Unfortunately, not all of those stories are online and cataloged.
That's a whole nother catalog.
Yeah, that sure is. How fun is that, huh?
Well, and you also get first pick, at our seed sorting parties. You get to browse and hopefully take some home for early planting.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. All right, 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. I guess this is a perfect valley to seed save in. I mean, we have a library that's promoting it and has built its own seed library. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks to...
Research Station is going to start doing seed production.
What's going on with that? We're going to have Don LaRoe in here.
In a couple of weeks. I haven't talked to Don. I'll talk to... Not Don. I mean, Frank Stoniger.
Oh, uh-huh. Up at the Research Station.
And see what they're planning on that.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of great stuff for seed saving, and we'll just be right there with it here on the worm. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of awesome stuff happening.
We're relatively isolated, so you can do – and there's plenty of good books out there to do. I mean, we have the one John DeVazio's book.
The library has that. We also have Seed to Seed.
From Seed to Seed, Suzanne Ashworth. Mm-hmm. And that's really a good one for backyard gardeners, because she's a backyard gardener out of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. That one's easy to read. It's easy to absorb.
Yeah, the John DeVazio's is very good information, and especially for isolation distances, and also the history of where the plants came from.
He has some really fun stories, too.
Yeah.
You get to kind of window into the history of the seeds.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because that's part of it is the history.
And it's more geared towards the commercial grower, but like I said, it has a lot of good information and a lot of history on the plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, some stories there. And I think there's a lot of history in seed saving, but there's also a lot of excitement about moving forward and different varieties that can happen as you seed save.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play. I mean, I think, you know, it's and when you start saving seed, we look at, you know, trying to keep varieties true. You know, if you plant your oak leaf lettuce, you would hope that next year it would still look like oak leaf lettuce. But there's also a lot of fun experimentation you can do. And I have a fun story from my garden this year, even though my vegetable garden was very dry and not very happy. About 4 or 5 years ago, while I was traveling, I had saved some iris seed and I planted those out and I put them in my garden. And they've been slowly growing. And this was the first year that they bloomed, which was really exciting to start irises from seed. And they were really lovely. They were short, I'd say no taller than 10 inches.
Oh, really? That's nice.
And
I kind
of like
that. And had
these really pretty yellow iris blooms. I don't know exactly what the plant looked like that I took this week from while I was traveling. So it was kind of a mystery to see what was going to happen.
The color that came out.
Which was really exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And Lance, you and Sarah were chatting earlier before the show about saving bulbs and irises and tulips in different colors. And
talking about saving the seeds from these perennials and growing them out. And this is where all the different colors of the irises and tulips and daffodils and jonquils and all that come from, is they're actually breeding those colors by cross-pollinating and saving the seed. And normally in a garden, you cut those seed stalks off so the energy goes back into the bulb. But you can let, you can play around and, you know, so you can see that the irises get huge seed pots in them. You know, tulips will do not quite as big, but tulips will actually make a seed pot right on the top. You know, and so will the daffodils. You know, so it's just something you can play with, you know, and see what
fun
you come up with.
Right.
Yeah.
Fun to
experiment. Exactly. Make a new variety.
Exactly. Hey, it's Jane here in Paonia with a comment. Hi, Jane. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment on why to save seed. Every time I get all my seed catalogs in the spring, the prices are unbelievable. For some of the things I'd like to buy are $2, $3, something almost approaching $4 for a little packet of seeds. So if you can really get into saving your seed on vegetables that would make it worth your while, you're going to sure save money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll save a lot of money. And the other thing is that if you're growing your own seed, you're everything's acclimated to this soil, our weather, soil conditions, sunlight. And so you actually have better production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of healthier all around.
So if you see some plants that you really, really want, buy two packages, grow one of the packages out for the flower or produce, and the other package grow out for seed.
There you go.
And then you'll have
get started on it.
Get started. And you just got to watch out buying things from, we were talking about also, it's called PVP.
Yeah, what does
plant
that mean?
Varietal protection. In other words, they patented a life form, which is really not very nice. But
and hybrids, too. So we're kind of in this time period where there's some legalities. So PVP and hybrid seeds, it is actually against the law to save seed from them.
All right. And so you're going to see those initials or that labeling on the seed package
so
you might
purchase. It'll be in the catalog, not on the package.
Oh, just
some
in
packets
the
will show F1, if you
those,
see that.
Yeah, F1, but
or
they won't
hybrid.
But they won't say PVP.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So be careful about seed saving with those.
Yeah, you just got to – and they're there. Mm-hmm. Anything that says open pollinated or heirloom is fair game.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, would you probably guess that a lot of the seed donations you're receiving are local, or the ones that are local are also possibly organic?
Absolutely. I mean, so when we receive seed donations, we have a little form that patrons fill out, and they can write down, you know, notes, the name, the variety, where they grew it, if they, you know, if they used chemical spray or not. And I would say, I would say probably 98% of what we get don't use chemicals on.
Wow, that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think right there, that's just a great resource. If you don't want to use the seed catalogs,
yeah,
go to the Delta County Seed Library.
Yeah, it's great.
It is, and yeah, it's right online, too. I mean, it's really amazing.
The other main important thing about seed saving is the number of plants you've saved, set aside for seed production.
And that being?
And the more, better, because anything will regress if it's inbred. So the
inbreeding.
So the more plants you have, like I think a minimum of most plants is 20, 25 plants.
In order to grow out for seed.
Yeah, that's the minimum. And I'm like my carrots, I'm planting 60, onions 60. Corn has to be over 100.
Because otherwise they're going to crossbreed and you're...
Yeah, and they just get weaker.
Puny.
You have less genetic diversity, which is going to, over time, make your plants more susceptible to disease and less resilient to different weather patterns.
So it might take you 5 years to get all the seeds you want because you've got to grow a larger amount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but 20 plants is generally, 20, 25 is pretty good.
So for home gardeners, you know, some of the great beginning ones, cilantro, that's real easy to have 25 plants and get seed of cilantro. And you might be surprised, you might have a new weed in your garden.
yeah, right.
Cilantro and dill are both in that realm. Calendula, anybody's growing flowers or herbs, that's a really easy one to save seed from. Peas and beans are usually pretty good. You can usually plant good amount.
Just a comment on that. The squirrels really like peas.
Get them before the squirrels.
Yeah, so just know that squirrels really like peas.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you, Lance.
Yeah. I've seen it. Lose a crop real easy.
It's like raccoons and sweet corn.
Right.
Well, and I'll just share a story, too, about storing seeds.
Yes.
So I had a lot of great seeds that I had harvested this year, and some of them were still drying. And talking about mildew earlier, if you cut them, you know, if you're worried about it raining and you cut your plants early and you put them in a brown paper bag to dry or you hang them to dry, that's one way to get them to mature after, you know, it starts raining and getting cold. But remember to clean them and put them in a waterproof container because I learned this from experience. So we store our seeds in our well room because the temperature year-round is pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have all of my seeds in a big, big Tupperware tub. And but I had about 3 varieties that I had cut and were still in brown bags drying. And we had a pipe burst.
Oh.
It was cool and it was dark, but it was not dry. I had a lot of beautiful kale seed that was sprouted and looked beautiful, but was covered in mold.
Oh.
And it is now in my compost pile. So
Did you have chickens? Because you could put that to the chickens.
I didn't, but if I had chickens, they would have gobbled it up.
Yeah, they would have loved it. Yeah.
So, so when you store your seeds, you want to keep them cool, you want to keep them dark, and you want to keep them dry.
Dry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have my seeds are all out in my garden room, and I actually year-round have sheets over them or blankets. And it's not for the cold. It's to keep the light off of them.
Oh, so dry and dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And cool, you know, a lot of times when you're planting, your seeds in the winter or spring, you know, you're putting them out in a sunny window. And if you leave those packets on your sunny window and then you forget for a couple of weeks and then you grab those packets and you go to plant them again and you wonder why nothing germinated.
Right.
they got cooked.
Yep.
Yeah.
You toasted them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have to be careful of seed storage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, lots of great information here and good events coming up January 24th and 29th here in Paonia, Cedar Edge, and Hotchkiss. And those are your seed exchange.
Seed sorting party. Mm-hmm. You know,
party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Come and, you know, talk with other seed enthusiasts and help the seed library get those packets ready for planting.
You'll have to let me know what you're short on.
Okay, we will. Yeah, we've got a lot.
I always got so much stuff. So
you've got gallons of extra somewhere.
Yeah, gallons and gallons of, you know. Yeah. It's amazing how much seed you get off of one planting.
Right. I'm kind of excited to talk about that as we keep going because it's amazing the yield that seed that comes.
And homegrown seed lasts a long time.
Yeah, and so when you're thinking of having to put a minimum of 20 to 60 plants out, it sounds like a lot, but the volume of seed that you get.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you won't have to plant that plant for another 10 years.
I planted out some seed of Lance's that was from 1991. It was some carrot seed.
Oh, the Scarlet Keepers.
Yeah, Scarlet Keepers.
Yeah.
And you had, you know, just regrown them, and these you didn't need these, and so I grew them out as an experiment. And they germinated better than brand new store-bought seed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
I just grew those out this year.
Did you really? That's almost 20-year-old seed?
Yeah, and they were...
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's like almost 100% germination. It's pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if you just set aside one row a year to save seed from... You know, that one row can last you 20 years.
Mm-hmm. You get one row with all that seed that's coming out, you're just going to get addicted.
Yeah.
Like you, Lance.
Yeah, and carrots are really pretty.
Addict.
Carrot flowers are really pretty.
They smell so good.
They smell really good, and the insects are incredible. Those fluorescent green butterflies that are
on. Oh, they're so beautiful.
And they're small. They're not big.
Nice.
Yeah. Onions are that way, too. I grew out some of Lance's onions this year, and it was amazing, the pollinators. You know, we get so used to some of our common pollinators. Mm-hmm. But the onions especially, you see these tiny little flies and all these amazing little insects just hovering over these really pungent onion blossoms.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's great.
Really, really fun.
All right, great stuff. Yeah. Good to be talking seed savings. Going to get us right into the springtime and planting the gardens.
Get us through January.
Right.
Yeah.
Sarah, great to have you here.
Oh,
and
thank you so much.
So excited about how your program has grown and how everybody is participating. And sounds like another great year for you guys. So I'm sure you'll be coming back to chat with us. We'd love to have you.
I'd love to be on. Love talking about seeds. And, you know, it's so great to have the wealth of knowledge with Lance and just get to absorb it while we
get excited.
Yeah.
Get excited. Yeah. Thanks to Jane and Eden for the calls tonight. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday at 6:30. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening.
Have a good evening.
Good night.
That I love so, low, little, low, and low.